Well, praise the Lord. We are still in the book of the Revelation. And in Revelation 13. And the Lord has been teaching us in this particular book. Of course, the whole book he's been teaching us. But book of the Revelation, it's been quite a different experience. Because it's a book of prophecy. Mm-hmm. It's a book that projects into the future. And somehow people love to know what's going to happen in the future. And this is the book for that. Well, the whole Bible is one that will catapult you into the future often. So, Lord, we thank you today for your grace, for your love, for your kindness, so much better than words. All we can do is try and find the words. We know, Lord, that man's words fall short. We know that we fall short, but we can only give what we can and what we have. We pray that that's sufficient unto you. Forgive us our shortcomings, O God. You already know about that. The Bible says that you remember our frame, that you know that we are but dust. And so I thank you that you know that much. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not as hard a judge as some people can be. I thank you, Lord, that you understand us. You became a man yourself to experience that which men experience. And so the Bible says that you've been tempted in all points, just as we've been tempted. Hard to imagine that you've been tempted with some of the things that I've been tempted with in my life. For the Bible says you have been tempted in all points, yet without sin. And so then we have a Lord who can not be surprised by what may happen in our lives. And we have a Lord who will not be shocked by some of the things that we might go through, or some of the things that we might experience, or even some of the things that we may think. And boy, can our minds go crazy sometimes. And we're so glad that we have a Lord who loves us. What a wonderful Lord you are. So speak to our hearts today as only you can. Tell us all that you want us to know today. Open up our hearts and minds that we can hear and receive and benefit from what thus said the Lord to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to finish with the chapter 13 of the book of Revelation today, and the people said amen, and I say praise the Lord. Revelation 13 has just been quite a challenge to me. Halfway through, I realized that all I was doing was talking about the devil, and I don't like talking about the devil too much. He's a mean devil, but God is a good God. But it's been quite a challenge. So we're going to pick it up here at Revelation 13. We'll start in verse 15. And he had power to give breath or life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This chapter is talking about two beasts. There's the first beast that shows up in Revelation 13:1, and that's the one that this one is talking about here. This one, this is the beast. 13:1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." So you know, when you imagine that kind of imagery, is like, wow, what in the world is that? But it's not as bad as it sounds. It's not as strange as it sounds. A lot of it's symbolic. Mm-hmm. But this beast had been killed, and somehow the beast had been brought back to life again, and it was in the sight of a great, great multitude of people. And so they have captured the imaginations of the people by people seeing that. If you've ever witnessed a killing, if you've ever witnessed an assassination or an execution, you know how traumatic such a vision is. Now, I've seen executions because they had them on video footage. And it's nothing pretty about an execution. It is a terrible thing to watch a man's life taken. But they, you go and you can see that kind of thing. It's a whole lot more out there that you can see that most of us don't bother to go look at. There's some horrible things that people are posting now that's available for anyone that can go online to see. But it is a traumatic thing. The masses will have witnessed the slaying of this first beast, but in verse 15, it says that breath was given to the image of the beast, that there was an image that this false prophet had developed. And this image was set up, and the image was caused to live. It was caused an image now, that they could see this image now breathing, that people could see that. Well, they're already traumatized by the execution or the killing that they saw. Yeah. So now they're seeing that breath is given to this thing, and so that they could see this. They witnessed that slaying of the first beast, and in this verse, the breath was given to the image of the beast, and the masses are going to witness this. This living image will speak and also cause the deaths of all who will not worship the image of the beast. Just an image. An image is like a picture, something that you see. They want them to worship. Of course, if they worship the image, they're also worshiping the beast.
Yeah.
Because it's the image of the beast. And all of this is brought on by what they call the dragon, who was actually Satan himself. And so, you know, Satan has always had a problem. He just wants to be worshipped. And he wants to be God. And he said that he was going to be like the Most High God. That is his thing. He even told Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. He wanted Jesus to worship. Isn't that something? What gall to ask God to bow down and worship you? Now, that's messed up thinking, huh? You know? Bow down and worship me, God. Because Jesus was and is God. Jesus warned of this particular incident here in Matthew 24:9. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're in the last days now, and it's pretty perilous out here. Thomas Ice and Timothy Demme wrote this. They said, even though this is yet a future event, the lesson to be learned for our own day is that one must exercise discernment, especially in the area of religion, even when miracles appear to vindicate the messenger. In other words, even though you see a miracle performed, you should still exercise caution. Miracles never saved anyone. And we got to know that, because a person can do something. And what I'm telling you is this. There's a program where the magicians, the guys that are magicians, say, try to fool me. And they get the different magicians, and some of them say, oh, you didn't fool us. We're going to tell you what you did. And they go, yeah, you got it. And then I saw one guy fooled him, and he just couldn't get it. These guys are so good that you'll be looking right at them, and it'll look as though they pull something right out of the thin air, when actually it's sleight of hand. And they're so good with their hands and with the psychology that they use and with the discussions that you follow, that they will misdirect you, and it'll appear that they are magically doing these things. And I'm still at awe at some of the magicians that I see work. I'm still at awe at it. But I'm not talking about sleight of hand. I'm not talking about magicians. I'm talking about people that can actually work in the area of miracles. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about somebody that can walk up to you cold and tell you about your childhood. This stuff is real. Don't be taken by it. You know, thank them. You're right. You said it. That's correct. But don't be taken. Don't follow them down the road. Don't go take them behind them. Because if they don't have Jesus right, you're getting ready to get into a whole lot of trouble just because they got this. I'm saying there are people that have these abilities in the world today.
And I'm just warning you that you're going to come across that. Then you got sleight of hand people that are just good with their hands. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, entertainers. But you got people that can walk right up to you and tell you what you had for breakfast this morning. Mm. And you tell Troy what he ate, and he'll look over at Felice and say, did you talk to this soap, this joker here? I've never seen him before, you know. And well, how he know, how she know? That's out there. And it's going to be very prevalent. So we got to understand this and stop, you know, stop saying, oh, that's not true. That's not possible. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's possible. And there are people that have these abilities, not necessarily from God. Okay. There are folks that are, I don't really know how to explain it, but to say that they have a better developed personality, a better developed person on the inside. You know, they have a broader soul or something in them. They're born with this thing. See? And so, granted, that's out there. But don't be deceived by that. I could walk up to you cold and start talking to you, and you go, ooh, how you know that? How you know? It's just a natural kind of ability that folks have. I don't do that. I don't do lottery, though I have been highly tempted. When they start talking about the billions and the millions, highly tempted. I'm thinking, now how could I sneak and play the lottery? So that I don't have to, all this craziness comes through. It's like, I don't know. Don't. You're doing fine. What are you going to do with the $1 billion? Yeah, you know what? A billion, that's like giving a crackhead $5,000.
Oh.
He'll be dead in the morning. He'll be dead in the morning. He don't know what to do with it. No tolerance. So be careful of that, even though it may seem to vindicate the messenger. Now, Revelation 13:16-17 says, and he causes all, and this is the power that he has. He causes all, and look at the influence that he has during this time, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I mean, that is a broad area of people that he has control over. You know, rich folks, we can't deal much with the rich folks. They don't have much to do with us. But he has control over rich, small and great, rich and poor, free, those that are locked up and those that are free, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Not only will the false prophet build the image of the beast, he will also require that everyone receive a mark. And that mark, as we know, is called the mark of the beast. This mark will be placed on the hand, on the forehead. Giving or receiving a mark is not a foreign idea biblically. It's not foreign. God placed a mark on Cain in Genesis to protect him. Cain slew Abel.
Yeah.
Cain said, everywhere I go, someone's going to kill me. God placed a mark on him to protect him. He marked him. In Revelation 7:2-4, we read that the angel of God will mark 144,000 Jews in their forehead. He's going to identify them. And just as we Christians are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the false prophet will seal his servants also. Mm. So we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Mm. Sealed is preserved. Locked in.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Locked in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Absolutely no one will be exempt. Laws are going to be enacted to identify and punish those who are found to be against this one world government. one government, one world, one government, the entire world following one political system. Those who cooperate will have access to food and medicine and other life privileges like health care and fuel and clothing. Just imagine any number of things that we take for granted today. Those that cooperate and take the mark will have access to these particular things. On the other hand, those who deny this one world government will be denied all privileges. You can't eat. You can park your car. You're not going to drive it, but don't worry, you're not going to get the registration either. You're not going to get insurance. You're not going to get any gas or anything. You're done. You can't sell or trade or anything on the open market. With this kind of control, the false prophet will force people to worship the image of the beast. That's the future. In this way, he will merge church and state. That is a horrible combination. Lord, I don't want the governor telling me how to worship. I don't want the president telling me how to worship. That is a horrible combination. But this way, he'll be able to do it. The mark of the beast is not any number that I or you possess today, so stop worrying. Folks are so worried today. I had a friend one time that he went to the post office somewhere, and they gave him change. It was 66 cents. He wouldn't take it. I'm like, give it to me. I'll take it, $6.66, I'll take it.
Okay.
But he was just that sensitive, and it's like, it's not that time yet, and it's not you, and no combination of money will cause you to be taking the mark.
Right.
We don't have your driver's license. If it adds up to the total of 666, if you add 666, that's 18, right? That's 18. Then you add 9 plus 1. Let me see. 8 plus 1 is 9. And so if you come up with something that equals 9, your folks do all these kinds of gyrations and things with numbers, you know. You could do that. You could go 666 equals 6 plus 6 is 18. 18, 8 plus 1 is 9. Now, that is the equivalent of the mark. And they do. They go through all these gyrations. Y'all, this is not happening in our time. Don't worry about it. Take the 66 cents change and buy something with it. Or put it in the offering if you want to.
Right.
But don't throw it away. Don't worry. It'll be very different from that. Those who take the mark will be accepting Antichrist as God. They will be choosing the beast over Jesus and refusing God's offer of salvation, mercy, forgiveness, and love. They are making a very bad choice when they do that. Now let me show you the ramifications of this. Revelation 14, 9 and 11 says this. Show you just how serious it will be to take this mark. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." It's pretty serious.
Amen.
For those that take the mark of the beast. Absolutely. Now, unless we are raptured in the next few minutes or the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few months, of our lifetime, we may get out of here without having to deal with that. But there is a coming generation, and your relatives will possibly be a part of that coming generation of people that may be on the earth during that time. And this is going to happen. There's going to be a worldwide push for folks to take this mark of the beast. So I suggest that we do one of those time machine things, or one of those, what do you call those?
Time capsule,
where you put a thing in, for the Johnson family, not to be open until after this strange disappearance of people happened. Mm-hmm. And put in there, don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. Whatever you do, don't take the mark. I don't know how you do that. But I know that somehow that message needs to be there. But I can tell you that people are so self-absorbed and so into themselves that, you've ever been so hungry and you couldn't get your hand on something to eat and you really, and you know, it's amazing what people will do when they get hungry enough. Mm-hmm. Or if they hurt enough. There were folks that were caught up in the Alps, some of those mountains, mm-hmm. mountain climbing, and they couldn't get down, and one died, they started eating. They said, well, the thigh muscles are edible. They start slicing into that man. Mm-hmm. That's how they survived. They ate him. They started eating those parts of him that was edible.
And so,
you know, folks say, oh, that's cannibalism. I understand that. But you get, you know, you never know what you're gonna do. You can say, you can stand up and say, not me, never, not me. I'm not, I ain't no per. I ain't. Mm. Get hungry enough, and the hunger pains hitting you, and you about to pass out. And say, man, if you don't eat something, we gonna eat you next. You know, you know. You fall asleep, you gotta be dinner, you know. Sushi, you know. You never know. You know, we say what we want. You know, you say what you won't do. You say it. That's what you say. But you're not there yet. You don't know what you'll do from chronic pain. When you're in enough chronic pain. I don't take pills. I don't want to take pills. You hurt long enough. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in healing. You get a diagnosis of cancer. Kind of change your attitude. Well, yeah, maybe if God, you think he could heal me? I mean, it can change you, see? And so just be careful. Just be careful, you know. I hope that I don't ever have to eat you. You know, or anything like that. I hope it doesn't get that bad. It's not an option now, but you just have to be very careful. Do you know that everything that is needed in the form of computer chips and different systems to enforce this mark is available right now? Mm-hmm. Right now. They can do it right now. But do you know that newer and more powerful chips and computers are on the horizon? Yeah. Every day, something. The technology seems to be doubling in power. And it's happening so quickly now. And the speed, and it's getting faster every day. Do you know that when that first computer came out, it says, well, how much storage does it have? It said it's got 1 megabyte. Woo-wee! Man, that's something, a whole megabyte. 1 megabyte is 1,000 kilobytes, you know, and 1 kilobyte is 1,000 bytes, you know, and 1 byte is 1 letter or something like that. So we got this 1 megabyte, and man, let me see it run. Well, first we got to learn DOS. We got to put in the command and make it go, and they put in a what they call the DOS command, and they put DOS in it, go, and the computer, zoom, zoom, they go, wow! The computer, 1 megabyte. Then it got up to 20 megabytes. 20 megs? My God!
You get 100,
huh? They got it up to what? Gigabytes. Terabytes. I mean, I can't even count terabytes. I don't know what that is. I know that's a lot from what it used to be. And I imagine they're on their way to something next. After the terabytes, you know, and just imagine how fast that's happened. Do you know that when they made the first computer, it took up an entire city block? An entire city block. And that thing was huge. Now you got one on your waist, in your pockets. You got one in your lap. That's more powerful than that thing they had when they started. In your hand. Right? I can call Ashley and we can sit there and look at each other and talk. Mm-hmm. What's up? And I don't know what's going on. I don't know. What's that behind you? Oh. Let me change the view. Don't worry about that, you know? And nowadays it's like, it's just so amazing. And they're not through.
No.
They're continuing to innovate. Today's computers could be completely obsolete in a very short time. Mm-hmm. I've got a computer at home right now. I won't even bother to try to go online with that thing. It's just a piece of junk. It'll go online, but you could type letters real good with it and that type thing, but it's done. And it could be 500 gigabytes, what do you call it, drive. Mm-hmm. C drive, 500, yeah, hard drive, 5 gigabytes, and could have four gigs of memory and that type thing. That'll still get you going and everything. But man, after a while, they're writing programs so big that it takes more power and it takes more memory to run those programs. Those older computers they're not viable anymore. You see, and it's still going. In 2005, in response to Islamic terrorists in this country, the U.S. Senate passed the Real ID Act that forces states to transform driver's license numbers into national ID numbers and send information to a national database to be linked to databases in other countries. Mm. So now they've changed the driver's license number to work in a certain national database, and then they fix that database so that it will send databases to other countries, to other databases in other countries. Now, other countries can access, if they need to, our information. Now, they must have some protocol that they go through to allow them privacy issues and that type of thing, but the point is that they're putting things in place now that they can communicate worldwide and send information worldwide. That was in 2005. This is supposed to help nations track terrorists and criminals, missing persons, and anyone buying and selling weapons or explosives and airline tickets and other activities. That's what it's supposed to do. But of course, the Antichrist and false prophet is not in power just yet, so it's still doing what it's supposed to do. But when this guy takes over, he's going to take over all of these systems, and he'll have access to all of these numbers and all of this information. One company is producing radio frequency identification. That's those RFIDs. They're producing radio frequency identification tags that are going on or in almost everything that is made. Every product you get, those things are putting them in that. Large corporations and trade organizations are pushing to have these tags standardized all over the world so that any one tag can be read by every scanner on earth. They can read it all around the world. That's what they're pushing for. They want it to be standardized, so not only can we read it, but that it can be read all around the earth. Everyone will be able to read it. They're also pushing for a standardized barcode and think they have found it. They have found this standardized barcode in the European Article Number Code. Europe. What's even more interesting is that these groups are selecting the code used by the group of nations that will produce the Antichrist. The group of nations that will produce the Antichrist is being used using this particular code right now. And so to see, I mean, it's happening right now, and of course, what do we know? But they're pushing. I don't know if they know or don't know that they're pushing. And they're working right into the hand of this European common market and the Antichrist and all of these different systems that's coming. I'm not a politician. I don't know that much about politics. I'm going to vote, but I sometimes might as well stay home with some of the, you know. But folks are fussing about Donald Trump. Sometimes the man kind of gets on my nerves, just with some of the stuff and things that he does. But this is one thing I do know. The Bible says there are no powers but of God, and that the powers that be are ordained by God. And so, like it or lump it, that man's in power, and God ordained him to be there. Otherwise, he would not be there. God allowed this man to be in office today. And they might say, man, go and get a clip of what that man said about the president. Because they can use this to their advantage. Because I believe that whether that president knows it or not, he is putting things in place that's going to work right along with God's prophetic plan. And I can tell you that there are some politicians, had they got in, they would not do some things because they aren't politically correct. And Donald said, who cares about political correctness? I'm not a politician. I'm the big D. And he's got a big ego. True. But he's doing things that other politicians won't do. But I do believe that he's working, whether he knows it or not, that he's enacting laws and he's putting things in place and he's stopping things and he's starting things. And I believe that he's working along doing things that will work with God's prophetic plan. Mm-hmm. And listen, the world hates God anyway. And so I won't say that Donald Trump is a Christian or that he's a Jew or anything like that. But he set up the embassy in Israel. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Other politicians say, yeah, that Jew's okay. But we don't want to make y'all mad. Mm-hmm. Donald, like, set up the embassy. Mm-hmm. We're your friend. And any friend of the Jews is a friend of God. Because that's God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do something through them before it's all over. So don't bash the Jews if you don't want your head bashed in by God, because these are God's people and he loved them. And they do some crazy things too, you know. They got to get saved. They got to get saved. But God has a plan, and he got this 144,000 Jews, and one day it says in Scripture, and then all Israel shall be saved. So God's plan is to save all Israel, so... just remember that. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The first thing to notice is that this verse starts out calling for wisdom. Here is wisdom. Over our own lifetime, we've heard people prescribe the title of Antichrist to evil or questionable people in politics or even in regular life. But these all are without wisdom. Number one, the Antichrist could not exist until Israel became a nation, because Scripture tells us that he will sign a treaty with them. So they would have had to have become a nation. So obviously, those who believe he was Hitler or Mussolini, which were two very evil and murderous men, they overlook this important detail. That's an unwise thing. Because back in that day, the Jews had not become a nation. Hitler's the Antichrist. No, it's too early. He's going to make an agreement with the Jews, so they're not even a nation. They weren't a nation at the time. Next, the Antichrist will rise to power in Europe, because Daniel prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans and said that Antichrist will come out of those people, which is why he can't be an American. So those who identified Henry Kissinger or Richard Nixon or Donald Trump overlooks this. Henry Kissinger was not the Antichrist, because he's not going to be an American.
Right.
He's coming from another place. Richard Nixon was not the Antichrist. Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. You know? Obama was not the Antichrist. But folks like, oh, folks that hate Obama, he's an Antichrist. No. He will not be revealed until after the rapture. So those who think they can identify him now overlooks this. Let there be wisdom in dealing with these things. He is not going to come forth until we're taken out. So it calls for wisdom. People will eventually be able to identify him, but wisdom will be needed when all of the pieces of the puzzle will have come together. It's going to happen. They will be able to identify him. But they're still going to need wisdom to do it. This scripture tells us that the one or the ones with wisdom will be able to calculate the Antichrist's number. We must remember that earlier he was identified as the first beast. As remember, as I started out symbolically in Revelation 13:1, mm-hmm. with seven heads mm-hmm. and 10 horns and 10 crowns on his horns, a most daunting description. Sounds scary. But here in Revelation 13:18, we're told that the Antichrist will be a man. Just a man. He will be a man, even though the description gives all of this. So it's got to be some symbology when they identify the beast. But it tells us in our scripture today, he's a man. It says the number of a man, that he's a man. And he is numerically identified as 666. Today we have two sets of symbols. We have the alphabet and we have the number. In the ancient world, they used a single set of symbols to represent both letters and numbers. The system is called alphanumeric, mm-hmm. where every number is a letter and every letter is a number. Every number is a letter and every letter is a number. Just one particular thing. I had a copy of, let me see, the Greek alphabet. I wanted to show you somewhere. Trying to do too much. Have you ever seen the Greek alphabets? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I got a copy of them for y'all to see. Y'all can pass it, pick one. And if you've never seen it, these are the Greek alphabets. When I was in college, I pledged a Greek fraternity, and we had to learn these alphabets, 24 of them. And I learned them by singing them. We used to sing them. And that's how I still know them today, because if I start singing them, I can sing them straight on down. But there were 24 letters that we learned. But I found something very interesting in my research. It's called alphanumeric. And that's the 24 Greek letters. The Greek letters were a total of 24. So for some reason, it required that they have 27 letters. And this number was made up by using the letter for the word stigma. Stigma. And that is the sixth letter. Stigma. Have you seen that movie or heard of it called Stigmata? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they added two more letters to make it 27. And the two more were arbitrary letters for some reason. I don't know. I guess they needed 27. But those other two, they didn't seem to matter. Their name was, it was K-O-P-P-A and SAMPSE, which is not going to get us anywhere. COPPA was 90 and the other one was 900. And stigma is from the Greek. The word stigma means mark or puncture. It came into English through the Latin to mean a mark burned into the skin to signify disgrace. Stigma. This word stigma came into use in the late 16th century, between 1580 and 1590. And so that means this particular letter wasn't always in use. So it could be questionable how it came up, but it's also being used here to identify the Antichrist. And so is it inspired? I don't know. I'm just taking a shot in the dark with some of this. But it's very difficult to figure this stuff out. Number one, we're not going to know who he is. And the world is not going to know until the church is raptured out. Mm-hmm. And so we're just kind of talking through this, trying to figure out how they came up with this particular thing. Again, stigma in the Greek signifies a mark made by a pointed instrument, a dot. Stigma from Latin, and it was from Latin to English. Crazy. It's a mark made by pricking or branding. By way of Latin, from the Greek, it's a mark made by a pointed instrument. If these definitions are correct, the mark of the beast could be done through either a tattoo, or could be branded on with a hot iron, or probably they would use modern day laser equivalent type devices. And they've got lasers now where, you know, I think that you won't even feel it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can now put some vitamin E on it. Just put it on 3 times a day and it's going to be okay. You'll find it will come out, see. But it's going to have to be something that's not going to hurt me to come. Cause is it going to hurt? Because tattoos, they kind of hurt somewhere. But it's either they're going to brand them. This mark is going to either be branded, or it's going to be tattooed. Well, I would say that they would use, why would they not use an even more modern day language where you go zoop, 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 and do a laser. And that's just me thinking how this mark can be placed on. But it's got to be something that's not going to hurt. You see, I have to go and get blood drawn, and I don't like it. It's just the initial prick that I don't like. It's, they call it a pinch. I said, you liar. That ain't no pinch. It's worse. You know, it hurts. You know, depending on who's doing it. And so I'm just kind of perusing this, how this could be. And that's the definition, by pricking, by a pointed instrument. And so this mark, they're going to use something. They're going to do that. And so it just gives you something to think about that probably other folks don't never have to think about. About the mark, and you know, be careful when you go around talking about it. Because, well, where you think you got that from? And you know, folks will be fighting about it. But just for you to know that it could be. And I can imagine a laser doing something like that. They got lasers now that they'll blind you if you look into them. So they must have a more higher level lasers that they could cause physical things, and you know, they could do things. They could light matches with it. Put that laser on the match, and the match lights, and so that means there's a laser that carries heat, or an ability to light a match. And so, just imagine in the higher labs that they got. I'm sure they got lasers that could do some pretty phenomenal things. And it's going to one day be under the control of the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will have control of these laboratories and all of this magnetic lab. Things that they're doing in the lab, even here in Tallahassee and other places that they're developing, and the different scientists are coming and they're inventing these and bringing all these things up. It's now under control of the government and everything, but one day the Antichrist is going to have control of all of these labs and all this information. The Christian Broadcasting Network, he's going to take over that thing. They got cameras, they got satellites out there, and they're praise Jesus. They're praising Jesus on the Christian network now. But one day it's going to fall in the hand of the Antichrist. And he'll take those same cameras and be sending the images into these people's houses and worship the image of the beast. Worship him. Come on. Praise the beast. Pray. He'll have control of that, see? And I'm so glad we won't be here. Antichrist is used 4 times in 4 verses in the King James. 1 John 2:19, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 1:7. But the name, as a proper noun, does not appear except by reference in 1 John 2:18. And he says, we all know that Antichrist will come. And it's a small letter, Antichrist. It's not like a proper letter name. But you'll not find the name Antichrist in the book of the Revelation. We talk about him all the time, the Antichrist, Antichrist, Antichrist. But you don't find the name Antichrist in the book of the Revelation. You would think that You could go to the book of the Revelation and find Antichrist, but it's not in there. Mm-hmm. It's not. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
As much as folks talk about the Antichrist, the name does not even appear in the book of the Revelation. Nowhere in there. What we have is the word beast. Mm-hmm. We have man of sin. We have abomination of desolation. We have abomination that maketh desolate. These different names of him. And when in 1 John, when they use the term Antichrist, they're talking about folks that are working against Christ. You know, systems that are not working with Christ there in 1 John, if you would go and read those things. But it's not necessarily talking about the actual person there. Now, finally, 666 is made up of the first and last Greek letters of the word Christos, which is Christ. Made up of the first and last letters of the word Christos. It's like an X, it's like a, sort of an S looking with the symbol of a serpent in between those two. So they get the first letter of Christ and the last letter of Christ, and in between those letters they have the symbol of the serpent right in between the two. And there's 600, which is the C for Christ, 60, which is that serpent, and there's 6 for the last letter of Christ's name. And we get the 666. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's made up in the Greek letters. And there will be a quiz after this. And, and listen, I want to encourage you, when you study a word, have a calculator on hand and a notepad. Because really, there's a lot of math in the scriptures too. And to really study the scriptures, it do you well. When they start talking about these generations and these many years and these many, you can just do some calculations. And it really open up your understanding to better understand some of the things that you're seeing, that you're studying in the Word. Well, praise the Lord.